You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you're with Rick Munn for your sins. I don't know what evil you've committed, but you've been sentenced to listen to me today. You can leave if you like, but in reality, you can't. We beam everywhere. We're on Getter. We're on Gab. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on Odyssey. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Music. We are everywhere. Yes, we are. We're going to take over the world. Mark my words. And listen, you'll remember that you were with us right off the get-go when we kicked off in January of 2022. I don't even know what year it is sometimes, let alone what day of the week it is. Sometimes I wake up on a Sunday and go, oh, I'm on air. I'm sleeping in. And it's like, no, it's the weekend. And other days I'm like, oh, I'm going to chill out today. And it's like, no, I'm working every day. It just goes on. And the world is going nuts, as you've probably gathered yourselves. There's no shortage of things to talk about. Ed Cooper from Melbourne joined me right off the bat. Later on in the show, Fabio Vici, who's a professor of critical theory and Italian, will be joining me from Cardiff University to talk about some of the events that are going on in Europe. Senator Malcolm Roberts has very kindly agreed to join me again tonight for a little chat, probably centering in on some domestic Aussie issues and no doubt the Nord Stream 2 saga, which is quite mind-blowing actually when you dig into it. Some of the stuff that's going around on social media. A Polish minister actually put a picture up of the detonation and said, thanks, US. This is from a Polish government minister. Shenanigans and skullduggery is afoot everywhere. There's no escaping it at all. So before we get into some of these details, let's look at what's breaking in the UK, because let me tell you this, there's a lot going on in the United Kingdom right now. More mortgage lenders are pulling deals on rate rise fears. They're having what you might call a brown trouser moment. Okay, they're having a brown trouser moment. You know, sometimes you can wear a pair of trousers, maybe beige or cream trousers, and then you can get frightened and you can have a little accident and all of a sudden they can turn brown. Well, the mortgage lenders are having brown trouser moments at the moment because the Bank of England is insinuating there's going to be a humongous interest rate rise to counter the collapsing pound. And if that's the case, the mortgage lenders don't want you into a good deal, so they're starting to pull their rates. 300 different mortgage deals have been pulled off the market so far this week, and it's only Wednesday. I shudder to think where we'll be by Friday. The Guardian in the UK has predicted that house prices will drop by at least 10% in 2023. I would say they will drop at least 10% by the start of 2023, and it will continue to, implode over the course of the next 12 months. So the Guardian are prepping us for this house price collapse, and in their own inimitable way. UK has warned that significant rate rise is coming as calls for a mini budget U-turn rise as it happened. So Kwasi Kwarteng unleashed hell on Friday last week with his so-called mini budget. And already the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, are telling him to wind his neck in. Wind it in, Kwasi. You're wrecking the UK's economy. You know, this is only, 5 days? The new chancellor has been told by the IMF after 5 days to reverse his mini budget. Woo! All hell is breaking loose. The Bank of Ireland pulls mortgage deals, so it's not just England. Turmoil, listen. I'm going to talk about turmoil today, so I'm not going to give it any more airtime. But yeah, it's not looking hot. It's not looking so hot here in Europe with all the events that are happening. But then again, I believe that's by design. And, you know, fair play to the globalists. They are working their plan. Boy, are they working their plan, and they're escalating things. They're accelerating. They have their foot on the throttle and they're not letting up. Mad men and women. But anyway, we have a website, tntradio.live. On that website, you will find a full list of shows, presenters, and also access to everything that we have broadcast on record by presenter Search for your favorite guest. Search for your favorite presenter. Try and listen to somebody that you've never listened to before. Senator Roberts, who's going to be on next, he has his own show at the weekend, and it's good, by the way. He had a guest, a guy I know very well, Dr. Philip Altman, on there, I believe, over the weekend, and I had a very interesting conversation with Dr. Philip yesterday. He almost spun round on his little chair, let me tell you that. In Australia, I had a right old rant at Philip Altman. In love, of course, we're all on the same side. But anyway, check out our website, tntradio.live, and go to the Apple Store or the Google Store and download the app, TNT Radio. Stay connected with us as we try and connect you to the truth here exclusively on TNT Radio.
Looping you in on the latest.
Alert straight to my phone.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, here we go. Let's just get down to business. Senator Malcolm Roberts is hopping on the mic again tonight. And let me just say this. I appreciate it. And I'm not just being facetious when I say that. I'm thinking as I have my little 4-minute break between guests, as I run up and down the stairs, drink some water, have some honey, make sure the cat isn't destroying the living room, okay, and scuttling back up to be on for my next guest. I'm thinking about my guests. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about Ed Cooper, who was on first. I'm thinking about the next guy, Fabio Vici. There's better things for you to be doing right now than talking to me. You've just spent a day in Parliament. You're still wearing your suit. It's like 8 o'clock at night in Australia. You could be doing other things. Ed wasn't feeling good. He's just done a day's work. He could be doing other things. Fabio Vici is a professor. He's juggling this show in between teaching people at university. He could be doing other things. People get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to talk to me. I try and tell them not to do it. Don't do it. It's antisocial. They do it anyway. I am absolutely blown away by the dedication of the guests that come on this show, genuinely all of them, and the people that connect the guests to the studio, the panelists. It's amazing. I don't know how it's so slick, and I mean that. It's just, it goes very well. So thank you for your time, and thank you for connecting and doing your business.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Rick. And I must say, the reason I'm here is you make the world better. I'm in the zoo, mate. You're in the real world, and you're bringing people back to the real world, which is wonderful, and you're doing it around the world. Did you ever think you'd be doing that?
Never. I would have liked to have done it in my dreams, maybe. In my dreams, I would have liked to have done it. And I suppose for a long time, I did it off air, in my own little way, in my spare time, here and there, but I never foresaw this, never. It's by the grace of God alone.
Isn't it wonderful what the universe dishes up for us? You know, your opening line was something like, people are with Rick Munn for something. I can't remember what you said, but I think you're actually, people are actually with you for your sense, mate. You're bringing people alive. And look, we're not the only ones now. Look at the Italian prime minister. She's exposed the globalists. Have you seen the tweet?
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you, right? I on Monday, I really covered this in depth, okay? She delivered what, and I still stand by, a barnstorming speech, all right? Give her dues. But since Monday, listen, I'm on top of this. I dig into everything, and I covered this with the last guest as well. She's a fantastic orator. She's full of that Italian passion. She ticked a lot of right boxes about the family's important. We're not just numbers. We're not just consumers, and so on and so forth. Yes, have to give her props for that. Made a little video about it this morning, said the same thing. She's a great talker. When you dig a little bit deeper into her background and some of the things she has been supportive of recently, i.e. vaccine passports, vaccine mandates, very pro-Ukraine, member of the Aspen Institute, which is funded by the Rockefellers and the Gates. Let's just say this. When you lift the stone up and you shine a little torch under there, I suppose like all of us, let's be honest, we've all got skeletons in our closet. And who can cast the first stone and say that they're sinless? She is to be watched, I would say, but she got off to a blinding start. It's like a greyhound race. You know when greyhounds on a greyhound track, you know that little rabbit goes flying past and the traps open and they all go, phew! They all go out of the traps like a rocket. She came out like a rocket. Give her dues, and boy, can she talk. Boy, can she deliver an oration. respect for that. I always like a good orator, but when you dig a little bit deeper, there's question marks there. There's questions.
Okay, that's a very important that you've raised that. But you know, Italy is the third biggest economy in the European Union now, and they have gone. I don't like using left and right. They have gone to the freedom side of the political spectrum. Sweden did so just a few days before.
Yes.
People are waking up, Rick. That's the important thing. They're waking up. Now, hopefully, this lady, Giorgio Meloni in Italy, is what she seems to be. I certainly hope so. But it's wonderful because she at least exposed the globalists. And if she's done nothing else, that's wonderful. It wakes people up.
Do you not find what I find interesting, or a common theme of all this, and it's something you and I have talked about before, the business of immigration, all right? When you bring it up, usually people think, you know, you've got a problem with people coming into your country. You've got a problem with people of different backgrounds and cultures coming in. That's not the case at all, okay? If you take somewhere like Sweden has been really pretty much destroyed by an open borders, ask no questions immigration policy. That literally, Sweden, if you look into the degeneration of Swedish society now, it's horrendous. They have a massive problem in their hands because of militant gangs that are running the streets and didn't integrate, and they're not economically viable. They're just gangsters. The same thing with Italy. They have people flooding into Italy from North Africa. The same thing with southern Spain. Ireland is setting itself up for the same problems, as is the UK with their open borders policy. And you have somebody like Liz Truss, who the first thing that was called upon when she took her place as the new British Prime Minister was, you've got to do something about the people flooding across the channel on dinghies, landing at Calais or landing at Dover from Calais and getting housed and getting visas and no background checks and so on and so forth. So there was an expectation there. But she's came out this week and said, we're not going to call them illegal immigrants. They're now going to be called new arrivals, right? So she says, and we welcome this. We welcome this. Australia, let me throw the ball into your court. Australia's came out this week and said, hey, we've got a problem with skilled labour. Let's import 140,000 people from overseas and come and take Aussie jobs. The problem isn't skilled labour lackage. The problem is vaccine mandates and teachers and firefighters and doctors and nurses and professional police officers that have been kicked out of the job because they won't take a job. This immigration business, Senator Roberts, it's a hot potato.
Bullseye about the unemployment. You've really hit the nail on the head yet again, mate. We've got thousands of people, good, skilled, caring, dedicated workers who are available for work, but are mandated out by stupid, dishonest, deceitful, inhuman governments. But, you know, you look at immigration is a serious problem. There are two basic structures for human civilization. One is the family and the other is the nation state. That is something that we can belong to, and that's inherent in us. We like to belong to something. We also need to know the extent of our jurisdiction. The nation state is fundamental. The globalists are wanting to destroy nation state to put in place an unelected socialist global governance. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of the United Nations bureaucrats who have said that. Maurice Strong, for example, he's dead now, but he's the one who concocted, fabricated global warming. We could talk about him one day. But look at Leicestershire, ridden with riots right now. Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, they're bringing their trashy issues from their home countries. You know, I was once, I traveled a lot in America and I've worked and studied there. I caught up with an old friend when I went to Wisconsin when I was traveling around, and I called in and she introduced me. She was back studying for a medical degree, and she introduced me to a flatmate who was a lovely Korean woman. And Carol said to her Korean friend, this is Malcolm from Australia. And the moment she said that, the Korean lady said to me, oh, the White Australia policy, hey? And I said, yeah, and you really love the Japanese, don't you? You know, and she didn't say another word about it. The point I'm getting to is that we humans, it doesn't matter about our skin color, we've all got red blood. And we are all basic humans. And I don't care whether you're a Chinaman or a Yugoslav or a Russian or an African. That doesn't matter to me. It's the quality of your connection and the personality and your integrity and values that matter to me. And that's what should guide our immigration. But what we're seeing is countries like Japan, countries like South Korea, countries like Hungary now with Orban in charge are very, very strict on who they allow in. They only allow people in who will comply, but not comply, that's not the word, who contribute. Amenable to their and comfortable with and will fit in with their values, their culture, their laws. And that's mm-hmm. what's important, because you've got to have maybe not homogeneous skin color, but certainly mm-hmm. homogeneous values and homogeneous yeah. commitment to the laws. Why should we let in people who come here because they wanted to get our welfare or get our values and then go straight into changing it? That's what the UN wants with these thugs and criminals that they want to allow in. We have yeah. to look after our own people first and keep our countries homogeneous when it considers values and behavior and culture and laws. That's what we need.
I agree 100%. And in fact, we've got to take a real quick ad break. When we come back, you know, I'll give you my experience. I mean, my next door neighbors, have said this before, are from Swaziland. If I could clone them and bring 100,000 families into the UK like them, I would do it, because they're hard workers, they're grafters, they contribute to the system, they're respectful, they keep the laws, and they do their own thing quietly, as we should do if we're strangers in a strange land. If I go to Swaziland, I shouldn't be waltzing down the street going, I'm not eating your food, I'm not obeying your laws, I've got my own standards, and I'm not using your language and this, that. No, you don't do that. That's disrespectful. So I want to look at this in a little bit more detail, because it's important. It's becoming a real hot potato. And as soon as you bring it up, like you bring it up or I bring it up, someone somewhere will fly the racist flag, or he's a racist. No, please give me a break. I'm not a racist. I can speak bloody Kiswahili fluently. I've spent more time in Africa with black people than I have with my own damn family in my spare time over the last 11 years. Please do not call me a racist, okay? But I'm speaking the facts, and the facts are that the current policies in play in Australia, in Ireland, in the UK, in Canada, all over the West, are absolutely wrecking our countries. That's a fact, because they're bad policies,
by design,
not bad people. By design.
By design.
So, yeah, take a break, Rick. Take a break. Inhale, take some water, take a break, collect yourself. We'll be back after these short ads here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
People say, this is crazy. Why is Joe Biden doing this? It makes no sense. Well, first of all, Joe Biden's doing nothing. Joe Biden's lucky if he can make it to the podium. He's not running the country. The people running him are the ones running the country. His chief of staff, Valerie Jarrett, all of Obama's people, the senior executive service that Obama put in every single executive department. Joe Biden isn't running the country. And the people that are running the country, these are hardcore Marxists. In the words of John Kerry when he was running for president in 2004, America needs to be taken down a peg. This is their ethos. This is what they believe. It's all part of cultural Marxism. People ask, what's cultural Marxism? Well, Marxism is an economic philosophy where the people that control the means of production control the workers, and all the workers have is their labor to trade for money. And Marx was a revolutionary that advocated a proletariat overthrow of the capitalist system, implementing socialism. Well, cultural Marxism uses the same principles, but it applies it to things like religion and society and education.
Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Brian Stelter and Liz Cheney gone in the same week.
And that's just the start of draining the entire swamp.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Find a forest. I absolutely have to agree with that. That ad that was on, these ads come up and they just trigger things in my head randomly. We need to get away from the big smoke. We need to get away from cities, at least for short periods of time. We need to detach from social media, detach from politics, detach from geopolitics, detach from the economy, and just get out the hell out and into the great wide open, breathe some fresh air, which is free, and go and spend time in nature, listening to the water flowing, watching the wind move the trees, and just forgetting about this madhouse in which we inhabit right now. Do you do that, Senator Roberts? Do you do it enough, or are you...
See you later. I'm about to do it now. You just convinced me. See you later, Rick. I'm just going to leave now. You just convinced me to do it.
I really
In my 20s, I would work during the week and sometimes on the weekend. And on the weekend, every month, I would spend one night under the stars. You know, wonder I had a beard back then. Wonderful to wake up with frost in your beard. Mm-hmm. And it's just so calm and peaceful. I get a good sleeping bag. It's just lovely to fall asleep under the stars.
We need to do more of that, you know, and we can talk about doing more of it, but we don't do more of it. We need to make more time to do stuff like that, because if you want to talk about maintaining mental health and even physical health and staying the course in this fight, I'm telling you now, the key, the secret is to get out, because think about what the government tried to do to everybody for the last years was to keep them inside. Stay in your house. Don't go to the beach. Don't travel 5K. Don't go for a run. Don't visit the forest park. Don't go off the trail. Don't do this. Don't watch the sunrise. Don't watch the sunset. Think about it. It's solitary confinement. They wanted to break us down. They don't want us to breathe fresh air. They don't want us to see nature. They don't want us to get vitamin D from the sunlight. They want us to take tablets instead, to take it. Hell's bells. How much of our problems could literally erode and evaporate just like that if we were spent more time outside?
Oh, let me tell you about a site I went to today, Rick. Someone on Facebook pointed it to me. It's called, well, it's from the World Economic Forum. It's actually a World Economic Forum page. It's titled Climate Change, My Carbon, An Approach for Inclusive and Sustainable Cities. And listen to this. While transport and buildings are the major drivers for emissions in cities, the share of individual emissions is significant. There you go, Rick. You're a polluter. You're a destroyer of the planet. So the next little clause, personal carbon allowance programs have had limited success due to a lack of awareness and fair mechanism for tracking emissions. What a lot of bullshit. They've had limited success because people see right through them as controlled apparatus, so they can control how we live, where we live, what we do. And then they say, yet there have been major developments in recent years that could help realize the My Carbon initiatives. What a lot of crap. These people just want to control everything we do. And they've got people believing, especially young people, believing that we've got a problem. Emissions of carbon dioxide, production of carbon dioxide from human activity has no impact on the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, has no impact on the temperatures. China and India and Brazil and Russia and the Americans and the Europeans have produced so much carbon dioxide in the last 27 years since 1995. It's amazing. And yet the temperature since 1995 for the last 27 years has been flat. And if you remove, it's just slightly increased. If you remove the El Nino and La Nina, Southern Oscillation Index, which is natural variation, they have been perfectly flat. There is nothing happening despite huge quantities of carbon dioxide going out. And you know, I think we might have discussed this in the past, Rick. In 2009, we had a global recession after the global financial crisis, a severe recession, which meant the use of hydrocarbon fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas decreased, which meant we produced less carbon dioxide than in the previous year. But the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere continued increasing. So much for cutting back severely, but it had no impact. In 2020, we had another severe recession around the world. Again, the same thing happened. We produced less carbon dioxide than the years before, but the level in the air went up because nature controls that due to the oceans. So we are being fed a line of bullshit, and I've just revealed to you some of the clauses from the World Economic Forum that indicate this is about controlling what we do, how we do it, when we do it, where we do it. It's about controlling our lifestyle. It's bullshit.
It is. And you know what? It doesn't just extend to humans. You know, there's massive pushes on at the moment to reduce nitrogen in fertilizers, which will reduce crop yields, which will impact the world's food supply, to cull millions upon millions of herd of beef cattle and dairy cattle, reducing availability for fresh milk and fresh beef, full of protein, full of goodness, full of nutrients, full of vitamins, full of everything. They want to get rid of that because it's a wicked thing. It's an evil thing. But somewhere behind the scenes, you have some demonic players like Bill Gates who literally want to trademark a product, a seed, for example, a genetically modified seed or a genetically altered or lab-grown piece of meat and get us to eat that instead under the guise of our health and saving our planet. Let me tell you this, my friend, the best thing the human race can do to save the planet is to eliminate and cull all globalists with immediate effect. That will have more benefit to our lives and our future generations than any CO2 reduction campaigns that are currently underway. We've got to take a real quick news break. We're at the half hour mark. When we come back, let's continue on this little path further. We just meander around, but we try and stay on the ball, which I think we're doing. That's Senator Malcolm Roberts. I'm Rick Munn. This is Locked and Loaded TNT Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. India has slammed America's plan to send nearly $500 billion worth of military aircraft and aid to Pakistan, including F-16 fighter jets. Hurricane Ian is bearing down on Florida, after tearing across Cuba and cutting power to the entire Caribbean island. And gas continues to pour into the Baltic Sea from three giant holes in Russia's Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines, after they were damaged in an apparent act of sabotage.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Okay, I am talking again with my old sparring partner, Senator Malcolm Roberts from the One Nation Party in Australia. I should have said this right off the bat. By the way, you can connect with him on Twitter at MRobertsQLD. That's at MRobertsQLD on Twitter. And also he has a webpage, malcolmrobertsqld.com.au. Everything he says, writes, points he wants to try and get across, contact him, issues he's dealing with can be found there. And I tell you what, you're not short of stuff to be looking at the minute, given the current state of play in the world. So I want to look at some of the things that you've been focusing on yourself. You can expand on them a little bit more yourself, straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. Let me see what you've been putting out here. Yeah, you've said an hour ago, finally, we have some more data on births. And do you do your own Twitter page, by the way? Can you tell me that honestly?
Yes, I do. No, I honestly do my own Twitter page and my own Facebook and my own Instagram. And I've got a member of staff who also helps me with that. He does some of them, but work very much. He knows all about me. He knows what I believe, what I think, and how I communicate. Yeah. So,
Some people don't. Some people just have they use their name and then they get people in to tweet on their behalf. But I you put videos out, you put clips out of yourself talking in Parliament and back up the things that you're saying. So that I just wanted to clear that up because, you know, people want to know this sort of stuff, you know, because if you're dealing with a persona and it's not actually the persona that you're connecting with, you know, people get a little bit disillusioned with that. It's like you don't follow me, by the way. I've got a problem with you. I've been following you on Twitter and trying to promote you.
What's your handle? Bother.
It's at, do you know what? I should do this. At @NoReward_NoRisk. Right?
Oh, I like that.
Search, at @NoReward_NoRisk. And it'll
all
come up
word.
As no risk. No reward, all one word, _NoRisk. Right?
Yes.
So there's an
word,
underscore in between those two. Okay. Anyway, I'm just poking at you here about not bothering you
that's fine.
To follow me, but I'm not going to fall out with you about it.
The other thing, Rick, the other thing, I like doing my social media because some of our supporters, followers, whatever you want to call them, they send amazing memes, and I harvest them and I just say, I put up their meme and just say, thanks, Rick, you know, if it came from you, something like that. So
yeah, I know you do, because I follow you. I do follow you. And actually, I don't follow a lot of people like yourself. I only follow like 100-odd people on Twitter. But it's because I like to condense down my timeline. I don't want to get swamped with thousands and thousands of messages every day. I try and condense things down and keep it as focused as I can. And that's why I'm highlighting
exactly
something. Yeah, that's. I think that's the best way to run it. So something that you put up, let me see. Yes, I've lost my train of thought a little bit here. Yep, Senator Malcolm Roberts, right. So this is what you said today. Finally, we have some more data on births and deaths in Australia, thanks to the Minister honouring the parliamentary process, but it's not enough yet. We await the 19th of October when the Bureau of Statistics has promised to release the detailed data. So you're basically chasing facts and figures from the government to do with births and deaths and so on and so forth. They didn't seem to have a problem providing daily updates, not quarterly updates, daily updates when the so-called pandemic, they told us how many were vaxxed, how many weren't, percentages, how many in the hospital, how many in ICU, how many are on ventilators, how many this, how many that. Daily they were there, every night, doom and gloom and fear and death and destruction. Now you're having to chase them through the parliament to get quarterly figures. Is there not something a little bit fishy about that?
There's something very fishy about that, Rick. The death data used to come out from all the states at least 6 weeks, no more than six mm-hmm. weeks, I should say, after the close of the month. Some states, like Victoria, within 2 weeks of the month closing. And the Australian Bureau of Statistics used to compile them and put them out as national figures within about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Well, that stretched out to months. And mm-hmm. now we have not got the annual report from 2021. So what they did was they gave us an indication. I think it was a 13% increase in all-cause mortality, 8% fall in live births. Now, that is not necessarily statistically significant, but it is an eye-opening. It is an alarm bell to have a look further. But what they're going to do is give us the detailed figures on 19th of October. So we didn't go hard on the minister because she did comply with our request for the documents, mm-hmm. and she did say they'll be better in October 19th. So we're waiting for that. But we know that that leading doctors and leading statisticians are saying there is a huge problem because, Rick, there has been no all-cause mortality increase due to COVID, none at all, not mm-hmm. a single bit. So it's not a deadly pandemic because if it was a deadly pandemic, there'd be an all-cause mortality increase. There hasn't been. But the moment the injections were introduced, within a month, we started getting a big climb in deaths. And, you know, we had, when I used to go out for a drive, every time I'd go to work or whatever, I'd rarely see an ambulance. Now, almost every time I'd get in my car and go out and hit the public roads, mm-hmm. I see an ambulance going by with flashing red and blue lights. It's yeah. carrying someone to hospital. And the health minister in Queensland, where I live, the state where I live, has admitted there's been a 40% increase in category one, that's severe heart problems, transports to hospitals. Ambulances are queued up, keeping the patients in the bloody ambulance because they can't get bed in hospital. Mm-hmm. So she said, we've had a 40% increase. I wonder what that could be. They're happening as soon as people get the bloody injections, within 2 days, within 48 hours, most of them, and some later. But we know quite clearly, but they're trying to hide that. And so we have highlighted this 6 months ago. We said, you are holding back the death data because of what it's showing. We've seen mm-hmm. clearly in the death data that has been released that there's been a decrease in COVID by a long way because it's the latest wave, but the increase in deaths is startling. It's dramatically increased. So hang on, they can't be from COVID. There's only one place these coming from, and that's these toxic injections.
The figures, you're having difficulty getting the figures. We don't have the same difficulty getting the figures in the UK from the Office of National Statistics, right? So this is something that's been posted up within the last 24 hours in the UK. So a guy called Jamie Jenkins, who's a statistician, a ONS statistician in the UK, has been crunching the figures. And as per the 27th, which was yesterday, in the preceding 19 weeks, we have had 10,316 more deaths than we would expect for this time of year if the chance of dying was the same as pre-pandemic, excluding any deaths linked to COVID. More deaths than expected up to the age of 65 and fewer among those over 65. So what he's saying is in 19 weeks in the UK, there was over 10,000 extra deaths above and beyond what would be expected in the younger age category, not the old, vulnerable, immunocompromise, comorbidity category. These are 65 and under. So those are figures that were 19 weeks prior to yesterday. So that's about as up to date as it gets. And there's a guy I have on the show here who used to work for the Office of National Statistics, a guy called James Freeman. So he said in the past 19 weeks, there's been 10K non-COVID excess deaths in the under 65 category, with heart attacks being the major contributor. MSM, mainstream media, and pharma shills totally dismiss the link to the jabs and discredit anyone who asks this question. The elephant in the room is getting bigger, and at the same time, let me put it to you that the room is also shrinking. There's only so much longer they can bury this for. It's getting out of control. The figures aren't plateauing, by the way. They're not going to plateau at 10,000. They're rising week on week. It's horrific, my friend. There's a tsunami of death coming from these bloody injections, as you well know and as I well know, and they're still trying to cover their tracks.
They're not only a tsunami of deaths, there's a huge decrease in live births. We are going to have a population problem in the near future. And but as you said, people are starting to wake up. We've got now, it's quite easy to question the injection injuries. We've also noticed, I asked some pretty pointed questions on death statistics a couple of weeks ago, and Alex Antic was watching the Labor government and amongst his own Liberal National Party opposition. He came up to me after the question, said, "Great questions, mate." And you could see that initially they were up in arms about me asking the questions, but it very quickly died. And he said, "You should have seen the body language. They know this is happening." So they're awakening to it. The other thing is, we had a former government minister. The government, of course, has changed now, so he's now an opposition member. But Dan Tehan, I see him as a good, honest minister. He was competent. He always had his act together when he came to us for supporting a bill of his. He came out in the media 2 days ago saying he regretted just being silent with passing some of these restrictions and COVID mismanagement. He came out and said that. And I passed him in the corridor today and I said, "Good job, Dan, good on you." And you know what he said? He said, what we need now is a Senate to have some inquiry. So I'm going to talk to my buddies about that, because he is a senior member of the Liberal Party and he's publicly stating these things and in the media. So that means the time is getting ripe for our work to bear fruit, because so we'll be pushing that, mate. But this is going to come undone. It's already starting to.
It will. And here's the thing, okay? And I get the feeling, you do your job, but when you stop, you take off your suit, you take off your tie, you still think about stuff. You still think about issues and problems. You can't switch off. I can't switch off. I'm walking, thinking about stuff, thinking about trajectories, thinking about solutions, thinking about this, thinking about that. And the one thing is, we have to really swallow at this point in time, is that there will be people that are coming on board to our side from this point forward, that you could be looking at them going, "You're only doing this to save your hide. You're a little bit too late." Listen, it's better late than never. And if somebody's switching and changing sides and jumping ship, even if it's to save their own bacon, if it means one more child isn't injected or one more baby is not born dead from its mother's womb, then we have to take everything we can and not, because I get the frustration. I there's many people I wanted to throttle and shake and kick over the last 2 years for their silence, and now all of a sudden they're seeing the light for whatever reason. The bottom line is, there's lives at stake here, all right? And we can't afford to be picky, and we can't afford to be turning people away that could be allies going forward, because at the end of the day, listen, a house that is divided cannot stand, but a house that is united will stand, and they want division more than anything, especially at this crux point. This is the crux point we're coming up to right now, and as much as they're pushing their way, we need to push them in the equal and opposite direction. What do you say to that?
Well, all I say to that is, thank you very much, World Economic Forum. Thank you very much, United Nations, especially World Health Organization, because you have overstepped, you've overreached, and the people are awake to what's going on. You know, on my Facebook page, we've got a following of people who we've developed over the years, and they know that this climate hoax is bullshit. But on Instagram, we've had a very recent success because we've basically done that with our outspoken position on the COVID mismanagement. Mm-hmm. And so we've got these young people who didn't come to us before, 20s, 25, 40 years of age, mm-hmm. and they can see that we are standing up. We're one of the few people to stand up with integrity and courage against this COVID bullshit. And they have really been coming with us. But despite the severe suppression on Instagram that we have and the severe suppression on Facebook, we're now starting to see those young people who didn't really believe my position on climate now starting to see the cost of electricity, the ridiculous circumstances of electric vehicles. These things, now they can see this is bullshit and the billionaires are stealing money off them. And so we would need to, and they've seen that because they've realized that the COVID scam is exactly that. And if they, and they can see that these people from the UN, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, they're willing to kill people for a few dollars, mm-hmm. to get an injection mm-hmm. in their arm to get a few dollars for wealth transfer. And they're starting to realize that we don't matter at all. Mm-hmm. And so to the World Economic Forum and the UN. So what they're starting to do is realize and look around and say, well, hang on, this climate looks a bit dodgy. I even had mm-hmm. someone say to me, you know, they didn't believe my position on climate, but now they're saying, hang on, it has all the hallmarks of the COVID crap. And so now they're saying, this is the same deal. And it is.
Problem, reaction, solution.
So we can thank
the
World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization for opening people's eyes.
Yeah, that whole business, and I talked to my first guest today, Ed Cooper, about this. They take the same formula, which is create the problem, have a reaction, then present the solution. They did it with COVID. They're going to try and do it with the climate, economics, everything. Problem, reaction, solution. And our counter to that is very simple. Just say no. Do not comply. Refuse, resist, and rise. We need to start pumping our own mantras out there into people's heads as much as they're trying to brainwash us through MSM and propaganda on the radio, on the TV, with celebrities everywhere and centers. And that's what we're doing. At least that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to really,
I love what you're doing,
scream and shake the cage. You know what I mean? We're trying to do that as best we can, given the tools that we have. And I want to look at the tools that we have when we come back, and I want to give you a little bit of encouragement when we come back, you personally. So, I get little flashes of inspiration as I'm talking to people. I don't plan stuff out. So I just
Rick, the solutions, I agree with you. Define that, concoct a problem, fabricate a problem, come mm-hmm. up with a supposed solution. And always the solution involves giving them money and handing over control to them. Money and control is all they want. Always, and the solution is the same to everything. Give me more control and I'll take your money. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
They can never have enough of either. They can never have enough money and they can never have enough control. Well, unless we're in boxes in smart cities and we can't go without 10 meters of where we are with our digital IDs and our retinal scans and no money and no cash and no nothing. Over my dead body. Let me just say that to any of you globalists that are listening into the show. We've got to take a quick break, an ad break, and when we come back, let's look at the turning of the tide. Let's look at the shifting of the paradigm, because I think we're due a paradigm shift right about now, if nowhere else but here on TNT Radio.
The midterms, and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In a race critical to GOP hopes of regaining control of the United States Senate next January, former Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt is leading incumbent Democrat Senator Catherine Cortez Masto 47-43%, with 4.5% remaining undecided in the latest Trafalgar poll of likely voters. Laxalt, the son of former New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici and grandson of former Nevada Governor and U.S. Senator Paul Laxalt, is seen as one of the GOP's best hopes at flipping a seat from Democrat to Republican. Meanwhile, next door, GOP Senate nominee Blake Masters is reminding Arizonans of Democrat incumbent Senator Mark Kelly's racist joke 4 years ago when he said of his twin brother, former astronaut Scott Kelly, that he was DNA challenged, half a howler monkey, half an orangutan, and that they had changed his name to Rodrigo. Really? Rodrigo? Why Rodrigo? From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Child labor and toxic leaks. The price we pay for a greener future. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Right. Earlier on, we were talking briefly about this woman, Giorgia Meloni, in Italy. All right. And we're saying about the barnstorming speech and everybody's enamored. I said this about you on air and on my own channel, that in EU politics, people are mealy-mouthed. They dance the skirt, they tippy-toe around sensitive issues, right? But you, and this is a fact, because if anyone trawls through your social media, they will hear you coming straight out, bang on, hammering against globalism, central bank digital currencies, the climate change hoax, and everything else along with it, right? On your own Twitter page and on your own website. But the problem is that you haven't been thrust center stage by your globalist handlers, and the mainstream media has not gotten behind you, right? So there are a lot of fiery speakers and orators out there. The problem is they have been suppressed. They have been stymied and silenced and censored and deplatformed, all right? You should be, in my humble opinion, occupying a higher position of government, and just maybe, you will be someday. Who knows? You could be the next PM when all this nonsense gets knocked over. And don't forget Rick Munn, by the way, when you do. It's nice to have a politician in your back pocket, especially if he's the PM of Australia, right? So you've been doing that stuff, you know, so people are getting into a lather about Georgia, but you've been doing it. I've been banging on from my car. I make these little fiery videos from my car. That's what got me this job in TNT. All right. Maybe, who knows? Maybe I'll be PM someday. I don't know. But the point that I'm trying to make here is people are looking around for these knights on white horses riding in to save them, when in reality, maybe they're on their own doorstep. They're actually mingling among their own people. They're actually flying the flag and blowing the trumpet in their own parliament, which you've been doing in the Senate. Now, listen to this. I know you like to hopefully read a Bible from time to time. And as I'm thinking about stuff flashes into my mind. I read my Bible every day. I dig into it. I like the Old Testament. Here's a recommendation for you to go away and read. I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm telling you now, this is your reading instruction for tonight. Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. You go and read that, and you tell me that that's not going to be what's going to be happening on the world stage over the next 12 months. You mark that down and you remember this date, because this is going to come to pass. It's the story of Jephthah. The story of Jephthah. So you go away, if you don't mind me giving you orders here live on air, you go away and read that tonight, and you'll get your mind blown. You're going to see this come to pass, all right?
Well, I'll do that. Let me tell you a couple of stories about my first days being a senator, right? I've just announced as being successful in my first Senate election in 2016. And so our party campaign manager said, "Let's go, Malcolm, we'll go and front the media in a local park." So I grabbed my wife and son and we went down to the park. And just imagine this, in about 10 meters away, there was almost a whole U U-shaped half circle of journalists, right? They all want to come out and say, "Who's this new One Nation senator?" Okay. And they all ask the nice questions like, "How many kids you got? You know, what's your favorite thing?" And all this kind of stuff. "How long have you been married?" And all this kind of stuff. And then they start asking you hard questions. Uh-huh. There was one journalist sitting out on his own. And quite often they ask a question in very sensible words, but the tone is like, "You're an idiot." You know, so this journalist said to me in a tone that said something, nice words, but the tone basically said, "You're this bloody idiot that thinks that global warming and climate change is all a UN hoax to get control." And I looked at him and said, "Yes, next question, please." And he was absolutely buggered. He didn't know what to do because most people in my position would have gone, now that I'm a senator, I better be careful what I speak. No, I didn't really mean that. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I said, yes, that's true. Let's go to the next question. He didn't know what to do. But here's another thing. One of Australia's most distinguished freedom fighters, I won't give you his name because I have enormous respect for him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he called me up and he never gives advice. And this man mm-hmm. gave me advice and he never takes advice. But he said, when you get into Parliament, don't mention Agenda 21 from the UN, please. And I'm thinking, I've been talking about it publicly. Why the hell should I stop? So in the Senate, my first speech in the Senate, I mentioned Agenda 21 and called for an exit from the UN. And because I did that and went on the front foot, nobody challenged me. When you mealy mouth or dodge it, and then the journalists prey on you. Instead, I said, stick it. Here's what I'm about. If you can count on me, go ahead.
You have to shoot from the hip. And I mean, like, I wish more politicians would understand. I mean, like, there's people that I am diametrically opposed to in life, but I have huge respect for them because they're prepared to live what they say and die for what they believe in, even if those things may not be what I believe in or that I would support. I have nothing but respect for anybody that absolutely lays it all on the line and doesn't give a damn about public opinion and just tells it straight. I wish more people in politics would understand that they will actually have people more endeared to them if they just nail their colors to the mask and don't be a man for all, jack of all trades, and dipping your toe in this camp one day and dipping your toe in that camp the next day. So that's what I mean. It's kind of, you know, that's the way I've always, you know, found you to be, genuinely speaking. I'm not just saying that because you're on the air now. I've said that before to other people. And that's why I like getting you on the show, because you tell it like it is and you're trying to do your best. You're not perfect. Neither am I. You don't know everything. Neither do I. But you care about people. You want people to live and not die and suffer and be controlled and be enslaved. And that's good in my book, you know, whether or not I agree with politics that you do or you don't, it happened to, but it doesn't matter because, you know, you're trying to do the right thing. And there's something else, just as we're running up the time here, I touched on this as well. There was a story breaking, I think it was last week in Australia, there was a massive data protection breach. And I think it's a problem, reaction, solution thing. Albanese's all over this like a fungus, saying that, oh, there's danger. We need to clamp down. We need to secure things. Cyber attacks are very real. They could ruin Australia, and hyping up the fear and telling Aussies that it's for their best interest that we need to clamp down on this cyber attacks. Is this not just another excuse to how would you say, field and seed the concept of a digital ID, which is something that you're very much against, and rightly so, to move to a digital currency, which the American Fed are openly saying, hey, this will remove any anonymity and every transaction will become clear and apparent. Am I right? Well, I think I am right, but without digital ID, they can't bring in the CBDCs. They can't bring in
CBDCs. You are right over the target. Bullseye.
We must resist this.
Yes. We asked questions. I asked questions in the Senate today in question time. I asked three questions about this the digital security breach. And and the last question basically said, you know, these breaches are coming from largely from government and from Silicon Valley. And if they can't manage it, who the hell can? And you want us to trust our data to you, our health data, our travel data? You want to combine it all so that everything we do, say, think on social media, everything we purchase, everything we transact, everything about us you want on there, and you can't even protect data? Now, the Optus breach that happened today was due to an interface with the Optus applications. It wasn't a hacker. It wasn't a professional hacker. It didn't need any elaborate skills to be able to get into it. And yet 10 million people have had their data breached. They've had old passports. I've got a member of staff who was contacted and he's been breached, but he stopped being an Optus customer 14 years ago. So they're pulling all this data together and chasing him.
Here's the thing. they absolutely need the digital ID in place before they can proceed to where they want to be at, this total control and total domination. Correct. And just yesterday, I had a lady on yesterday who's amazing, Louise Crefield from England. She runs this thing called Save Our Rights. But there are 10 bills currently working their way through our parliament at the minute, and they're all got funny names: Bill of Rights, Brexit Freedoms Bill, Economic Crimes Bill, Public Order Bill, Online Safety Bill, National Security Bill, Payments Investments Bill, Schools Bill, Academic Bill, Genetic Technology Bill. They're all being passed, but they're all with a view to breaking down personal data protection. And one of the bills, well,
what's her website,
to me,
Rick? What's her website?
Her website is Save Our Rights. Save Our Rights, this is her here, Louise Crefield, saveourrights.uk is the website. Her Twitter page is at saveourrightsuk, Louise Crefield. And Louise is a single mother who's been in court more times than anyone I know this year and been fined for organizing the million people in the London protests and so on and so forth. But you check out what she's putting out, the digging she's been doing on the crime bills that are being put into place in the UK that will remove our data protection rights, that will enable ministry departments to cross-pollinate with our information and bring in this digital ID. Check it out for yourself. And by the way, sorry, we're actually coming up to time. That's a little connection for you maybe to make there, Louise Crefield. That was Senator Malcolm Roberts kindly joining me again from Parliament, or from the Senate. Have a nice remainder of your evening, whatever you're going to do. I hope you can switch off, go outside and get some fresh air. Thank you very much for your time, sir, as always. And connect with him on his Twitter and his website. I'm Rick Munn. I'll be back after the news with Fabio Vici from Cardiff University in the UK. Have a good night, Senator Roberts, and we'll speak soon. Bye.